fear a very good friend in life, and fear can be a poison that contaminates our whole life, our whole universe. This is true for humans and for animals, all sorts of animals. Fear is vital to maintaining a functioning environment, a functioning environment in the wild for carnivores and herbivores, for predators and prey on land and in the sea throughout life. It is nurturing for this universe, this life. And of course, when we say ourself, when the Buddha says self, the Buddha means this whole universe. In fact, Dogen says this, when the Buddha means, what the Buddha means by self is precisely the entire universe. The entire universe. Scientific knowledge, especially recent ecological and environmental studies, are discovering and learning more and more about this need of fear and how the balance it maintains is what makes life nurturing, what makes the environment, the world work. Even though we might think there's a problem with fear, there is a great need for predators, especially what is called apex predators, and there's a great danger to all, to the environment, to animals and humans, when apex predators are removed, destroyed, killed, and therefore the resulting fear is not present. But I'm not talking about just the general environment. I'm talking about our life. Walking in the street, if we're with a child, it is very important to teach a child to walk on the sidewalk and to teach them that walking on the sidewalk is great, but that when stepping off the curb, one must wait. They must wait. They must wait for a green light. They must learn to look for traffic before crossing the street, even when there is a green light. And yet, if we are always afraid of traffic when walking and running on streets, on sidewalks, we may never walk anywhere, always be gripped by fear, even to the extreme extent that some people, some of us, are afraid to leave home because of this, and we call this a sickness, agoraphobia. This fear, appropriate and inappropriate, is true in many areas of life, and therefore it's important that there be an appropriate balance in human life, important in terms of the functioning of our life and the creation of suffering and harming. We could talk about this socially, psychologically, and yet this is something we all know intimately. In fact, in the closing gatha, we're reminded of this. Life and death are of supreme importance. Time passes quickly, and with it, our chance, our opportunity. Our opportunity for what? To be who we are, to be this practice. In a sense, you can say practice is one. Knowing that you are the boss of practice, And you are not the boss, not the boss of what arises for you and what arises as the universe. So in the same way, self-centeredness is an important part of being human, of animal functioning. And yet, being caught and tangled in self-centered dreams leads us to miss this very life that we are. Not only to miss it, but to create all sorts of difficulties for ourselves, for others. Joko says, I think that practicing well takes effort, and at the same time, to experience life as it is, without any trying, thinking, or doing, I'll say without any effort, is to experience effortlessness. Without any effort, experiencing life as it is experiencing effortlessness. So Joko asks, how are these things both true? He says, life is often a struggle. We have things we want to happen and stuff that we think and believe should happen that doesn't. And despite the fact that that's my added, we are tired of the struggle, yet giving up what she calls core belief that is keeping us in the struggle takes conscious attention or conscious practice. What's the problem? Our habit to narrow down what we think of as reality to suit what we think of as our lives. That's the problem. And the practice is very simple, she says, to let the senses, physical reality, the bigger picture emerge, unfiltered by our core belief. And yet, that is scary. The effort of practice is our willingness to turn towards the unknown of this moment and stay there. We stay there without doing or thinking anything. That's where effortlessness emerges. You are the boss, and you are not the boss, and there's no need to be the boss. So reading Dharma books, listening to Dharma talks, it's all very valuable, can be very valuable, and an important support, a guide in our ongoing practice. And yet, practice isn't reading the books or listening to Dharma talks. Those are supports and encouragements. But overdoing that, overindulging in that, reading, watching Dharma as a substitute for actual practice is useless. It's worse than useless. Our practice is to be aware, this is from Joko again, our practice is to be aware of what's going on as soon as we can. Being aware of what's soon as we can. Usually for the first second or longer we get caught believing our thoughts. It takes effort to not hold on tightly to our caughtness. But with practice, the caughtness doesn't stay as long. And we know we're caught, and in the noticing the constriction loosens, you can say, practice is very clear. If we are present, as we are present, because the practice in the noticing is the opportunity of experiencing. She says, the effort of practice, quote, the effort is just turning our awareness to our experience and staying there again and again. So, I bring this up to encourage us. There's really nothing extra needed, not even Dharma texts. Nothing is truly needed. And yet, please make use of whatever supports you. But what it supports you to do is to do your hour practice. You don't need more ideas about practice. Don't need to follow, enjoy what others say or write, agree or disagree with their practice insights or accomplishments. It's being this experiencing is being the present, sitting, walking, this Dharma moment. Otherwise, if we refuse to be it, it's like being afraid of stepping off the curb into traffic, even when you are walking on the sidewalk, even when you're walking in your home. Your life offers you exactly the opportunity. Our life offers us. Our practice is very clear. Since it's effortlessness, but yet it's making a choice when that's necessary. So, Joko gives several good examples. Quote, when we feel hurt by someone, we have a choice to rest attentively with that hurt instead of turning away towards comfort, justification, or even despair. Effortless does not mean, she says, nice and comfortable. It just means that we are aware that we are allowing what is to simply be. There's no choice, no straining. It's effortless. But it also means to turn away from the comfort of what we're habitually doing, the familiar way of thinking, of reacting, of holding on. Then the effortless universe that you are, that we are, is our life. Thank you.